What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to Finding Direction. I am freaking pumped for you to dive into this week's conversation. It is so much juicy goodness in this. This episode, I think, is going to be one you're going to want to listen to 2, 3, 4 times over. Our guest today is Lazan Bhaskia, and she is the founder of Shaping Freedom, a personal growth company. And she also owns Hera Hub Carlsbad, which is a female-focused and gender-inclusive community, a co-working space, and also a business accelerator. She is a former corporate executive who really took a left turn in life that you will hear about on this episode. And now she is a master practitioner and trainer of neuro-linguistic programming, also known as NLP. She is a master practitioner of mental and emotional release, also known as MER. She is a therapy and hypnotherapy certified coach. She is a certified professional coach, an accredited energy leadership coach, a Reiki practitioner, a certified advanced theta healer. I mean, the list goes on and on, my friend. This woman is doing some powerful work. So on this episode, a few things you can expect is we talk about taking inventory on why you are doing exactly what you're doing in your life right now. We talk about the power of becoming your best friend. And we also look at Lazan's top 4 life lessons that she's learned through, as you will hear on this episode, quite a life. If you are looking for something powerful in your day, my friend, you have come to the right place. And before we dive in, I just want to encourage you to smash that subscribe button if you have not already, so you can join us every single week as we have conversations, insights on how do you live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I am very excited for you to dive into this one, my friend. Without further ado, here we go. Lazan Bhaskia, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Stu. I'm really excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I figured where we could start today is I would love it if you would give our listener just an inside look to the chapter of your life where you've grown up a bit, you've gone to college, and you're taking sort of your first steps into the real world, right, that people kind of fear sometimes. And I would love for you to just take us into that chapter as you're starting to really open up just your professional life.
Okay. That's a great place to start. I stepped into my adulting with a very prescribed kind of formula for what I was supposed to do. And I'm putting that up in air quotes. I was raised in Brooklyn by a Haitian father and a Puerto Rican mother. And being first generation, you know, you come to this, you know, you go to school, you get out of school, you get a job, it's some corporate thing, and you work your way up the ranks. And so that is what I did begrudgingly, because it really didn't make a lot of sense to me and didn't feel like an enjoyable thing to do. But at the time, that was what I began to do. So I went into, I went to school. I actually did a lot of my undergrad while working full time. And so I worked full time. I did, you know, I had a slightly not as traditional a trajectory. And I was, you know, working and also in school, and worked my way. My first role was within financial services, and I worked on a trading desk selling world equity shares for a large Fortune 500 company in New York. And I did not like it. I did not enjoy that part of adulting, because it felt very it felt limited in a lot of ways. it felt like I was like, you have to work these hours and you have to do these things. And there was a certain way that you needed to show up and do things. And so I did that for a while. I worked my way to an executive role within working a few different in a few different organizations over a period of time. And then I got to this place where I was successful. I enjoyed the work that I was doing at the time. I had moved over to organizational change management, and I was like a fixer, where I'd be brought into organizations that were failing or struggling, and I would come in and revamp their processes.
So you're like a
consultant.
That
would include technology. Yeah, but within the organization.
Within
so I would
a company,
just bring different like internal business partners together, get them to talk to each other in a more effective and productive way versus finger pointing at each other.
Yeah.
And then we'd go through the checklist of what do we need to do to either make this department or organization profitable or more efficient or and more effective.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of where I was during, you know, once I kind of got into my career and found my footing. But initially, it was very much about checking the boxes that I was told needed to be checked in order to be a, you know, an adult, a good adult.
Yeah, that's one thing that was popping up for me as you were saying that is like, what was your motive that was driving you? And it sounds like the motive at that stage of your life was check the box for what it is you're supposed to be doing.
Initially, yes. And, you know, it's funny. I, and anyone who knows me, you knows that this is hilarious. I went into school initially to become an accountant. And that's not me. Like, I love the money and the numbers, and I'm a data-driven person for sure. But that's not my bag. My dad was in finance. And so I initially went into school for accounting. And I remember being there and being in some class about something. And everyone was like, you know, I'm taking this because my parents are going to buy me a car. Or I'm doing this because my parents said that I have to whatever. And I started to just, you know, to understand at that point that I needed to put more of myself into the choices that I was making. And so I went into left, you know, started to study cultural anthropology and then went into my professional life in, you know, in financial services because I was very interested in world economics. And then got very interested in the ways that organizations operate internally in order to meet a goal, an objective. And and then became certified as a coach because ultimately what really drove me to answer your question was the ways that we come together to make things happen. And that there's this process that we go through of like knowing that we want to accomplish something, knowing that we want something or knowing we want to accomplish something and then getting clear about where we actually are on the road to accomplishing it. And then all that beautiful work that happens in between, in between like what you want and where you really are. Like that's where the fun is. And so that started to just get clearer and clearer for me. And so I decided, well, since that's what I really like, I'm going to stop finding these ways to get some of that. And I'm going to sink completely into that. And then I became an entrepreneur.
So, so if we jump into that a little bit. And
I know, because I just like blew past a lot of time.
So, I mean, it's so interesting that, you know, you look at your story and part of the motive was, let me check the box. And at some point the switch flipped to, I'm curious, sort of like twofold, like one, what was the new motive, right? When that switch flipped, because it sounds like that new motive took your direction in a really different way. And I would also be curious, you know, if one of our listeners is listening to this and they're going, okay, I'm checking the box and that's what I'm doing in my life. It's much easier said than done to say, let me switch from checking the box to whatever this other motive is. Easier said than done. So how does someone go about starting to make that switch or that shift? And again, the other part of the question was, like, what was the new motive for you when the switch flipped and said, I'm not doing this check the box thing anymore?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, because I think that, and thank you for asking, because now I'm like slowing down my thought to like, where was I? Like, what was really going on? What was the thing? And it really was, I think what happens a lot of times, and what happened for me at least, was I was meeting some of my internal need, right? So ultimately, you know, I am a coach. I am a person who is very focused on personal development and on showing and guiding other people how they can grow and develop themselves from an emotional and mental perspective, and how to be healthy. And so I was meeting some of those needs by being a project manager and an organizational change management leader within the organization. I got to bring people together. I got to have a problem and fix it. And so once I recognized that if I wasn't careful, I would be living on the edge of what I really wanted to do for my entire career. Like, once I really got that, like, wow, I'm doing this and it's kind of what I want to do, but not really. Yeah. I started to pay attention to my yearning, and I started to pay attention to like, what is it that I'm really wishing for? Yeah. There's a thing I'm doing, which is, it wasn't miserable. I mean, quite frankly, I had a very productive and relatively smooth career within corporate. I didn't hate all of it at all. I worked with great people. I had great teams, but there was always this feeling of like, but if I could only do what I wanted to do, like, I like this, but wow, if I could just get out of the office, if I could just get into. And so it was me taking the time to hear myself saying that, to slow things down enough to really hear what it was that I was saying as I was going from meeting to meeting, answering email to email, you know, having conversations. Listening to that gave me insight into, okay, there's something else you want to be doing. There's a different place that you want to be. Like, let's look at that.
So let me ask you this. What did that process look like for you? Because, what did that process look like for you when you said, you know what, there's this other thing that's really calling me. I need to really get to know that and spend time with that. Like, what did that look like? Because it sounds like at some point you had enough clarity around what what that was that you took action on it.
Mm-hmm. What it looked like was a couple of different things. One was it almost felt like I was doing, it's kind of like being a kid and being in the house and doing chores and watching the kids play outside. That's how I felt. Like, that's the vision that just came up for me. It was like, dang, I'm in my office, you know, I'm wearing the suit, I'm doing the thing, I'm answering the emails, I'm, you know, I'm a leader in the organization, I'm respected, but there was something that I was looking at outside that felt free and that felt open and spacious. Yeah. And I felt like I was doing a lot of great work in a pond. And it was a bit of a mind weirdness, because I had all of the things that you're in that environment, people were working toward. I had the six figures. I had the car. I had the house. I had the, you know, all those things. I was financially, you know, comfortable at the time. And those are all the things that people in that race were aspiring to, but I still felt deeply unfulfilled. So that was one. The second thing was, I had this moment where I was on a call on some conference line with a bunch of people that I worked with. And I was also like in a DM, a chat box at the time with a friend. And I had this nagging feeling that there was like something that I wanted from myself. And I remember having this moment, Stu, of clarity where I thought, isn't this interesting? Like, all day, there's this thing that I'm feeling, this attention that I I wanted for myself. And if a friend had reached out to me to tell me that he or she was like on a cliff or needed me, I would do everything that I could. I would leave work. I would do everything I could to address that, to make sure that that person felt heard, loved, understood, supported. But I was unwilling to do that for myself.
Mm.
And in that moment of realization and epiphany, I kind of like did this little check thing, like all the times that I kept talking or like kept myself going at a time when there was something else that I wanted to do, the times that I had really been indifferent toward my own needs or wanted to do something but shut myself down to do the thing that I felt like I had to do. And and it was like this moment, and it changed my life. That moment changed my entire life. And I finished my call and pushed myself away from my computer. And I sat down and I thought, okay, Lisan, what's going on? Like, what do you want? Like, what do you want? What's happening here? And I gave myself the attention, affection, support, an encouragement that I would have given a friend, almost as if I was two people. And it changed my life. It changed everything about the way that I approached my relationship with myself and also my relationships with other people. Because I know I understood in that moment that me jumping outside of my own experience to help that person was really a cry to myself to help me. You know, I was doing the thing for other people that I really wanted to do for myself. And then I'd get mad at other people because they weren't giving me the thing that I refused to give to myself. So it's this whole like, you know, loony kind of circle that I was in.
It's like, what would your life look like if you were as good of a friend and a champion to yourself as you are to some of your dearest friends?
Exactly.
Man, your whole life would change.
Exactly.
Man, that's, I have goosebumps as you say that. And I hope our listener is asking themselves that same question as well. Of like, man, do I need to support and encourage and talk to myself like I would talk to one of my friends that I wanted to live a happy life? Because they say like sometimes we're our worst critic. And that's, man, you described that beautifully. I love that.
And I think I love that you said, you know, we're our worst critics, because I think we focus on that. And, but what if like we were our best friend?
Yeah.
Right. We focus on like, we're our worst critic and we're really mean to ourselves and all of that. And yes, that's all true. And what if we were to make a decision and a commitment to be our own best friend? And it doesn't mean that we don't want and need to be with other human beings and to be in, you know, warm, beautiful space with other human beings.
Yeah.
And imagine how much happier you would be and how much and how clear you would be if you were to start with yourself. We start with other people all the time.
Yeah. It's wild. As you say that, I can like see myself picturing a picture of myself next to myself talking to me like I would talk to other people. And it's such a cool but weird but also different and amazing experience. You're like, dang, like if I had that part of me talking to myself, it's like, it's, that's so cool. I hope everyone listening to this right now needs to at least spend one day with yourself saying, I'm going to be that part of myself that encourages me, that's my best friend, and just challenge yourself to do it for one day. And I think a lot of our listeners are going to have the effect just like you, where they go, man, once I did that for one day, things began to change. So if we go back in your story, so you have this conversation with yourself, this moment of what do you want? And I guess the maybe obvious question is, what did you want?
Well, here's what I wanted. I know that your audience is kind of, where was I at the time? I think I had to be in my late 30s, I think, is when I started to, you know, have this conversation. I made some changes in my life, is what I did. it sparked me realizing that while the man that I was married to at the time was an amazing human being and an amazing father, I started to see that our values were not aligned. And by values, I don't mean good or bad. I mean what was important to me was not the same thing, you know, were not the things that were important to him.
Yeah.
And again, not good or bad, but it really took me back to like decision making around what kind of relationships I wanted to be in. I left my corporate role and became an entrepreneur. And this didn't all happen like within a week. It just like that started the process. So like, don't go blow your life up. Like, this is not the time to flip a table and tell all your friends that you're done with them forever. That's not, that's not what we're saying here at all. But it really was that moment that started me on the road, Stu, to really thinking about my life, really thinking about, okay, what is really going on here? Like what's happening with work, what's happening with my family relationships, with my romantic relationship, with my friendships in my community, as a parent, because I was a parent at the time and still am. But it was really just like this, this assessment that was very similar to the assessment that I was doing professionally, quite frankly. It was like, what do I want? Where am I? All right, what's the road? How do I get there?
Yeah.
And it really was also about courage. I had to have courage, because in that moment I was like, but I'm already married and I got kids and I got, you know, what does this look like? And it took a few years, you know, for me to kind of land on certain things or get clearer about certain things. But it absolutely started that process for me. And then I started to realize, and it's something that I say to people often, the quality of your life is worth fighting for and it's worth working for. And I say that because I know very often people think or believe or hold themselves hostage to decisions that just are not in their best interest. And they hold themselves hostage to those decisions because they don't, they're either unaware of or unsure about how to actually make things work out the way that they want to. And they don't want to blow things up. And you don't have to blow everything up. But if you are living in a life that feels inauthentic to you, then you're not showing up 100% anyway.
Yeah.
For yourself or for that other person or for that job or in that relationship with your parent or vice versa. So taking a moment to really understand what you want and working toward that winds up better. Even if it's a little, you know, messy in the beginning, it'll take you to the place that you really want to be. Today, I am happier than I'm very happy in my life. And it doesn't mean that everything's not, you know, there's life and things happen, you know, and no one's smiling 24/7. But my ex-husband and I are friends. This was years ago at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're friends. He's an amazing dad. And he's happier and I'm happier. And
beautiful.
I have every relationship in my life is a relationship that I want to be in. An authentic,
that's beautiful,
loving, clear relationship.
I love it. Man, so much powerful. So powerful. And so much just kudos to you and the courage that you had. I think everybody, including myself, can take some of that courage from you and say, let me just, you know, see that courage that you practiced and try to practice more of that courage in my own life. Cause you are an example of what happens when you are courageous for a life that you want to live. And one of the things it was on your website that you read that I was like, we're going to be friends, was you said, it is your birthright to have a life that sets your soul on fire. And
that's right.
On the outro of every podcast episode, that's one of the things we say is about living a life with your soul on fire. And I was like, man, you are.
Oh, wow.
But it takes courage, and it's just beautiful. And I really want to nail that home. It's beautiful to see your life as an example of what happens when you are courageous and really willing to take a step and say, I'm going to take a courageous action towards a life that I know I deserve and I want to live. And we can all reference you as the example of, okay, when you do that, it can work out in a really, really beautiful way. So just thank you so much for your example. Thank you for taking that step of courage for every single one of us, the listener right now, myself, to just really hear that and embrace that. And so thank you times a thousand. And as we go more into your story, what took you from that place to diving into coaching? And what I would love to hear from you there as well is, you know, for our listener, they may go, oh, you dove into coaching. But when you look at what you've done in coaching, you didn't just dive into coaching. You full steam. I mean, I wrote it down over here because I was like, wow, you have done so much. And, you know, this was in the intro as well, but just to read it again, it's your master practitioner in NLP, a master practitioner in mental and emotional release therapy, a hypnotherapy, a certified professional coach, an accredited energy leadership coach, a Reiki practitioner, a certified advanced theta healer. Like, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, your toolkit is unbelievable, I would imagine. And so what took you from where you were to saying, I'm going to go to coaching and then dive in headfirst fully?
A couple of things. There were a lot of, at the time that I left corporate, I actually was already a certified coach at the time. And I got certified through IPEC, which is where our mutual friend Luke and I met. It was important to me that if I was going to do this work, that I did it well. And it was also important to me that I honor the trust that a person would have in me to work with them. And I know there are a lot of folks who kind of hang a shingle and say, okay, I'm a coach, but I saw it and continue to see it as a real profession. Yeah. And so if I was going to, and I was, work with people at that level of intimacy and at that level of vulnerability that a person would have in working with me, I wanted to make sure that I conversely honored them with ensuring that I was committed to the profession of coaching and committed to the profession of helping people to grow personally, helping people to turn their lives in the direction that they want it to be. And so as much as I, the work that I do is to help a person to see their own possibility. And in that, there's a lot of like unraveling of things and taking things apart and looking at ways of being that maybe aren't in alignment with where a person really wants to go. That is, for a person to entrust me with that means everything. And so I want to make sure that I know what I'm doing and that I'm not in the boat with the person, but that I can help that person to get to where they want to go. And so for me, just like in corporate, and I think that corporate did so much for me in terms of like foundational knowledge, and I learned so much. And I think it's really important that if you decide to do this work of working with people, that there's a lot of creativity, there's an art to it, and it's important to keep yourself abreast of what's happening in the field of behavioral health. So that's beautiful. Where all those certifications came from. And also just my deep desire and interest in humanity and, you know, behavior, you know, relationships and all of that, neuro-linguistic programming. I love that. I love the study of it. I love the practice of it, because everything that we do is about words. and the meaning that we apply to the words that we use. And so if we understand that, then we can kind of unpack some of the ways that we have been programmed and the ways that we continue that programming for ourselves. Yeah. So I could nerd out on this stuff all day.
Yeah. So let me ask you this then. Through all the different things you've done and the experience and certifications and just everything that you've delved into this world, what are some of the biggest lessons that you've taken away that serve you in a positive manner in your life today? Because you've done not just a lot, but a breadth of different things and a depth. You've done a lot. You've done a lot very deeply. Some things are overlap. Some things are very different. So from all of, you know, everything you've done, what are some of the biggest lessons?
I think there are three. One is to set boundaries. To set boundaries with other people and with myself. Boundaries are the way that you set a person up for success in dealing with you. And a lot of the issues that we have come from a place of an unwillingness to set boundaries and then trying to get another person to operate, you know, to understand that about you. So learning how to set boundaries and to be very clear about what I want and what's going to be within the realm of my interactions and what's not helps me to know how I'm going to operate and helps other people to know how they're going to operate with me. So that's one. Two is, would be, I think I have four actually. Okay. Two is understanding values and understanding the importance of values. If you are clear about your values, and it really just comes down to what is important to you about a relationship, work, fun, all the different areas of your life, getting very clear about my values has been another game changer, because then it becomes less about right or wrong, like you're terrible and I'm great. And it becomes more about, well, here, these are my values. This is what's important to me. And so in a romantic relationship or in a friendship or anything else, if we're not in alignment on these top five values of mine, I don't have to make you wrong. I can just say, well, we're not in alignment, and that's okay. And save a lot of time. A lot of times people like get into relationships and they get into the same relationship over and over and over again. Different face, different name, but the same relationship. But when you're clear about your values, then it's like, this is the roadmap for me. So boundaries, values. Third would be forgiveness. Learning forgiveness. Learning how to forgive and learning how to forgive from my heart, where it's doesn't necessarily, forgiveness does not necessarily mean that you condone a behavior or that you even want that person in your day-to-day life. But the ability and willingness to forgive means that I can free up that energy, that bad energy that exists between me and another person, you know, cleaning that energy up. And sometimes people say, oh, I don't have any energy because I've ignored that person. That's not true, because it takes energy to hold that person away from you in that way. So forgiveness, cleaning that up so I can move forward and be clear is has been really helpful. And I think the fourth has been taking care of that relationship with myself, making sure that I'm paying attention to the quality of the relationship that I'm in with myself, which includes self-care, kindness, patience, giving myself a break, you know, and listening to myself and asking myself from time to time, like, what do you want? Like, we're real clear about what we don't want, but asking myself, like, what do you want in this moment right now? And sometimes it's like, you know what? I've been on calls for 12 hours today and I just want to go sit on the couch for a minute, you know? Sometimes it's more, you know, it's different, but just really being in a continual conversation with myself about what I want has helped.
Love it. So beautifully
said. Those are four.
Yeah, that's okay. Four is, we would have given you 10. Well, Lasan, it has been such a joy to have this conversation with you. You've lived beyond a beautiful life, and I'm grateful that we were able to share it with you in this moment. And if people... want to hang out with you more, dive into your world, where's the best place for our listener to go and find you?
All right. Can I tell you about a couple of things?
Yeah.
Really
please.
Quick?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm in San Diego, as are you.
Yeah.
And I also own in addition to Shaping Freedom, I own a female-focused and gender-inclusive co-working space and business accelerator called Hera Hub Carlsbad. And I host a Soulful Saturdays event once a quarter. And it is for people who have an interest in being in diverse space. People from all over the world come to this event. It is so much fun. So I have that. It's happening in May, but if you follow me on Shaping Freedom,
right,
on all the channels, you will get notified about when that's happening. And then I also run a Shape Your Foundations program a few times a year. It's a 3-day program. But if you want to experience something sooner on, and I don't know when this is launching, but I have a workshop that focuses on boundaries, accountability, and successful relationships. So follow me on Shaping Freedom. I guess that's the easiest thing.
Yeah, Shaping Freedom.
Yeah, you can go
everywhere.
To my website and yeah, Shaping Freedom everywhere, and that'll give you insight into what's going on.
Love it, love it. Amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that. And last question I have for you. We ask this to all of our guests because we want to help people find direction, but we believe in doing it through action. So what would you say is one thing our listener can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Pick an area of your life where you have questions or a struggle. Ask yourself what's important to you about that area of your life. So let's say it's the area of work. Ask yourself what's important to you about that area. List it all out. Prioritize it. And you will have your values in that area of your life. You may be able to compromise on numbers 6 through 10, but it will be almost impossible for you to compromise on the first 5. Pay attention to what those values are, and then look at where you're struggling. And it will probably be because one of those values is being, something's bouncing up against those values, that one value. And so if that is the case, start thinking about what you can do to either come to some kind of a compromise with that other person or to make your to get your needs met, because what's important to you is important. It's the most important thing. And yes, it's selfish, and being selfish is not necessarily a negative thing. So get clear about your values in one area of your life. Don't try to pick everything all at one time. Don't try to change everything all at one time. That one, and focus on that for a little bit, and then move on to another area of your life.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Well, Zahn, thank you again so much for your time, your
thank
energy, your just doing so many incredible things in the world. And just thank you for spending some time with us today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul. And as always, that is always something to celebrate. I want to say thank you for joining me on this conversation with Lasan. I hope you've taken massive value, and I hope, more importantly, you take some things and you go implement them into your life. Have a wonderful rest of your day, my friend, and I will talk to you on the podcast soon. Take care.